Welcome back to In the Trenches. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us. We're going to get a chance to talk some Michigan football. We've got the spring game coming up on Saturday in the Big House. We've got Ed Warner who's going to stop by. All this is here to come on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
As we talk about speed in space,
yeah,
we have C's in space now. So he's pulling quite a bit, and so that's the little joke in the OI room is C's in space.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
We've got a great show lined up for you. Coach Ed Warner, the offensive line coach of the Michigan Wolverines, is going to stop by and give us a little breakdown of what he sees from the offensive line, what he sees in the future of some of the guys that are backing up those starters. We're excited to talk to him. We've got the spring game on Saturday in the Big House, April 13. Gates will open at 4, kick off at 5. It'll last about two and a half hours. I don't care what you're doing. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful day. So come out, join me in the Big House. It'll be a great time. Before we get there, and a guy that's going to join us on the broadcast from his nice little home there in Winston-Salem is Brian Bush. Let's bring in Brian as we do every week. Brian, how you doing?
Hello, John. Man, you got to talk to Ed Warner. I mean, do you get a little extra pep in your step when you get to talk to the coach about the O-line?
Yeah, especially when you got four guys returning. We've got John Runyon, Ben Bredesen, Cesar Ruiz, big Mike Onwenu. Four guys that have experience. I got excited about that, and I'm excited because my position, obviously the offensive line is my room, but my position was right tackle, and we've got a couple of guys battling it out for that position. But I'm going to leave that for Ed Warner to tell everybody what he is seeing at that position and how that competition is shaking itself out.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit with Coach Warner. First, though, 7 from 77. And number one, John, what stood out to you about this past Saturday's open practice inside Michigan Stadium?
Well, the first thing that stood out to me was it was an unbelievably great day, probably the best day we've had in Michigan, this spring. And it allowed so many people to come and see Michigan football. And from the product on the field, what I saw was, because the players weren't in pads, so you got to kind of look for some different things. And I saw speed, I saw quickness, I saw decisiveness from a lot of the positions. And when they're running their drills, it was like a well-oiled machine. So the coaches have done a good job of preparing these guys and getting them into the drills, in and out of the drills. It really was fun to watch the team move around the field. And at the individual drills, at the individual positions, like I said, it was very precise. Linebackers were doing a great job of opening hips and getting into pass coverage. And at other times when they were doing some pass rush drills, they did a great job. And I'm very excited about a couple of the linebackers we have. Josh Uche, one of them, who was our leading sack artist last year, is having a great spring. So a lot of really good things to look at last Saturday for Michigan football.
Josh Uche, that sack against Northwestern to finish that game will always be a really fun memory for this program. Number two, John, how will this Saturday's event be similar and different from what we saw this past Saturday, if at all?
Well, I'm hoping the weather is similar because we had it canceled last year due to poor weather, and it looks like we're going to have a little rain Thursday and Friday, but as God does, he looks down on Michigan football and says, we would like to have a great day, so I'm hoping that we do have a great day on Saturday, and everybody can come out, enjoy their time in the Big House. But what's going to be different is one of the things I mentioned before. Last Saturday, they didn't have pads on. This Saturday, it will be full contact. You're going to get a chance to see one-on-one pass pro from, you know, the offensive and defensive line matching up. You'll get a chance to see, you know, the linebackers and DBs covering receivers. And you'll get a chance to see the quarterbacks actually, you know, get into their drops and deliver the ball to guys that are being covered, because it will be a contact drill, and that changes the game for everything. So I'm excited about that, and there's going to be some team events that go on that I think people are really going to enjoy seeing. And it's all about matchups. When you watch the offensive and defensive line, watch John Runyon, watch how he sets. When you watch the defensive line, watch Josh Uche when he's in that pass set, and watch his first couple of steps and how he comes off the ball. Watch some of those young guys inside that are going to get a lot of reps. One of them, Aiden Hutchinson, who we saw a little bit last year, is getting a lot of reps, and you'll get a chance to see him. But it's Mazi Smith, young kid, early enrollee, number 58. When you go to watch practice, he is a kid I think is going to have a huge impact throughout his career. But look for him to have a big impact this year because of it's an area of need. Michael Dwumfor has been a little banged up, so you're going to see a lot of Mazi in there.
The weather, by the way, as you mentioned, right now looking like low 50s, no rain on Saturday. That's about as good as it gets.
Perfect football weather. Big guys don't have to worry about overheating. Little guys don't have to worry about cramping. You get too warm and all of a sudden, you know, those high, you know, fine-tuned machines outside there, they start to cramp up a little bit. And if it gets too cold, then all of a sudden, you know, oh, the kickers can't kick because their feet are cold. This is going to be a perfect, perfect day for Michigan football.
Has a kicker ever said, I can't kick because my feet are too cold?
Oh, please, don't get me started on kickers. They got gentle toes, gentle toes.
Number three, you mentioned Michael Dwumfor. He's battling that plantar fascia injury. Donovan Peoples-Jones, a groin injury. Coach Harbaugh mentioned earlier this week that those injuries may be more serious than originally thought. Give me your sense of those two young men and their possible situations moving forward and how that affects those who will obviously need to step up a rung in the depth chart to make up for the absence currently of DPJ and Dwumfor.
Well, when you have a guy in front of you that you know is going to be the starter, DPJ is going to be the starter at wide receiver. When you have an opportunity to get reps, you've got to go out there and show what you can do. And we talked a little bit last week about some of the wide receivers. You know, and one of them is Mike Sanristil. He's had a great camp. He's an early enrollee. And with this new offense, you're going to see a lot of four and five wide. So you're going to see, even if Donovan Peoples-Jones, Nico Collins, Tariq Black are all out there, you still got to fill those other two spots if you go five wide with some slot receivers, maybe a tight end. So you're going to get a chance to see some of those guys out there, and it's all about opportunity. If Michael Dwumfor can't go, then you look for guys like I talked about, Mazi Smith. Is going to be a guy that gets in there, Lily Verlaine, Quiddy Pay. All of these guys will have an opportunity to show what they can do. Another young guy, David Ojabo, you're going to get a good look at him, number 71. Lots of reps for the young guys. And one of the positions, obviously we're going to talk to Ed Warner, so when I had the conversation with him, he was talking about how, you know, especially in this speed and space with Josh Gattis, everybody's talking about the receivers and they're talking about the quarterbacks and the running backs and the tight ends. Nobody's really talked about this offensive line too much. And Cesar Ruiz, and I'll let Coach Warner tell you guys what he's seen from Cesar Ruiz, but to watch him grow up last year, from that Notre Dame game to the end of the year, John Runyon, the way he grew up throughout the season to be an all Big Ten left tackle, Ben Bredesen, and Michael Onwenu. These guys have continued to transform their bodies, and that's the beautiful thing about 18 to 22 years old. I wish I was still in that age group because they can spend 2 months in the weight room, and when they come out after that 8 weeks, they look like completely different people. And Caesar and Ben, and they're all a little bit lighter. Michael is a little bit lighter. And one of the terms that Coach Warner had talked about was, hey, you know, we're going to be able to pull, you know, Cesar Ruiz from that center position. And when he gets out there, we call it, instead of speed and space, we call it season space. So that's a little tease for you to continue listening for Coach Warner. But when you have offensive linemen that can move, that can get out in space and block people, it's exciting to me. And, you know, he talks about one of the rule changes as well. You can't cut 5 yards downfield. So these guys have to be terrific athletes. And when you are a guy that loses 10 or 15 pounds from year to year, you do have that extra little pep in your step. They're going to have it because they're going to get 15 to 20 more reps every game with this no huddle and speed up offense. So I'm really excited to see this offensive line, especially the interior three, Bredesen, Onwenu, and Ruiz, how they handle being out in space, trying to block linebackers, trying to block corners, and getting up on safeties.
Number four on today's 7 from 77, you might have alluded to it a little bit with Cesar Ruiz, but give me a name that we haven't talked about too much or really not at all, who has really stood out, whether it's on the field in practice, whether it's how they've transformed their body, et cetera. You know, we've alluded to Mike Sanders still. We talked about Donovan Jeter last week. Of course, Christian Turner was turning some heads early on in spring camp. There are guys that, you know, like Shea Patterson, who, yeah, he's going to get plenty of talking points on him. But give me somebody or some players who've really stood out to you who maybe aren't getting that discussion about them at this stage.
Well, I think when you know, Josh Ross at linebacker, he's going to be a guy that has some big shoes to fill when Devin Bush left. And he's a guy we haven't talked a lot about, but he's got a big job to do and is stepping up to do it. So I'm excited to see him. I'm also excited to see some of these young tight ends. Mustafa Muhammad, I think he's going to be a terrific tight end. Luke Schoonmaker is going to be one of those guys as well. So I'm excited to see them. Eric All is a kid that he's a freshman. He's an early enrollee. He's a guy that will be able to have an impact. And he's going to have to fight his way because that's a very deep tight end room. But when he gets on the field, I think he's going to be a guy that you look to as, you know, as going to be an impact player. And then one of the guys that we've talked about last year, we saw him briefly because he was a young guy, Joe Milton. I know he's the number three quarterback at the time behind Shea Patterson and Dylan McCaffrey, and those guys have experience. But Joe Milton is a very special athlete. He's 6'5", 250, 245, somewhere around there, and has a lot of gifts that God gave him, and he is beginning to learn the defenses. He's beginning to learn the process of the offense. So look for him to be able to distribute the ball, get the ball out before he gets touched on some of these blitzes. So Joe Milton is another guy that I'm going to be watching very closely on Saturday.
Number five, some interesting quotes from Don Brown, the Wolverines offensive coordinator that gotten a lot of pub. Quote, "The most disappointing experience I've ever been through in my entire life," end quote. And quote, "I'm just excited for the chance to redeem myself," end quote. Of course, talking about the final two games of the season. Now, most athletes and coaches have gone through something like this where you work for something and it doesn't quite go your way. When you were playing, John, how did you adapt your game, change your approach after a disappointment like that in order to bounce back?
Well, that's the beautiful thing of sports is it may take 6 months before you can get back on the field, but there's always another opportunity. There's another chance to get out there and show what your team, what you can do individually. And yeah, it was disappointing. And I know Coach Brown is as disappointed as anybody in what happened in Columbus and what happened down in Atlanta. And the fact that there was a couple of teams that you know, move the ball effectively on us, scored points on us. And that wasn't the way that Don Brown wanted to see the season end after, you know, ripping off 10 wins and being the number one, number two defense in the country all season long. The beautiful thing of sports is that you get a chance to strap it back on. You get a chance to make adjustments. And since Don Brown has been here, I have told people and I have preached this time and time again, there is nobody better at studying the game of football, making adjustments, and then relaying that information to his players in a way that they can go out there and be aggressive, understand the concept, and make those changes. Sometimes they're in game, sometimes they're from December to August. And that is what I'm excited about with this defense, because when you lose players like Chase Winovich, Devin Bush, yes, you lose the heart and soul of your defense, but that's the best thing about college football. Next year, who's it going to be? Who's going to be the Chase Winovich? Is that going to be, Bench Mason? Is Josh Ross going to be Devin Bush? That's the excitement about the next season. And Don Brown is as excited as anybody and is as motivated as anybody.
I kind of want to see Bench Mason with the Chase Winovich hairstyle. Like if we could merge that, yeah, I think that would work out great, right?
I think, yeah, I'll mention it to him. If he comes out with a long mohawk, I mean, we'll have to get him a new helmet, that's for sure.
Bench Winovich. All right, number six. We're going to hear from Ed Warner in a bit, as we talked about. Obviously, if you've listened to the podcast before, you know that John Jansen is just a bit passionate about the offensive line mm-hmm. room. Now, we've discussed week by week, you know, last year, game by game, about the progression of this offensive line. But go back to where this O-line was when Ed Warner stepped on campus in Ann Arbor to now. It's sometimes difficult to notice the changes week by week. But if you look from that moment to now, I mean, it's a pretty remarkable difference.
Well, I think let's just talk about perception first. Going into spring football last year, going into fall camp, the big question mark was the offensive line. What were they going to be able to do? They hadn't played well for a couple of years. And now we've got Ed Warner. We've got some guys that, you know, have moved around different positions. Now coming back this year, the question isn't the offensive line. We've got four returning starters. All of them were, whether they were honorable mention, third team, second team, first team, they were all Big Ten players. So you have that experience. You have that confidence. They've spent another offseason in the weight room. Again, that continues to build that confidence. And when you have guys like Andrew Stuber or Jalen Mayfield, who are very good players in their own right, competing for that right tackle spot, competition drives success. It drives players to be better. So I'm excited about this offensive line with the experience they have coming back, returning captain in Ben Bredesen, the fact that you can start four or five practices ahead. When you have that many returning starters and that type of experience, practice one last year was the basics. They're past that. They understand that. They can start where they were maybe 10 practices in last year is where they started this year. So you get a chance to advance your knowledge, advance your chemistry, advance everything that you do on the field. So I'm excited about this offensive line.
And finally, before we get to that Ed Warner interview, number seven, John, it is Masters week. You are a golfer, I know. Do you watch golf? And if so, do the majors get you going, or is that just not enough for you?
No, you know what? I watch golf right after I paint a room, and I find out which one is more exciting, the paint drying or watching golf. I just, you know, it's a tight battle, and I have to go with the paint drying because at least I can see something happening. I do enjoy golfing, but I do not enjoy watching golf on TV, especially when the announcers, it's like they're all whispering. What are they whispering for? The athletes can't, and if you're going to call them athletes, the athletes can't, you know, hear them.
That was the fans, such a subtle shot.
The fans aren't going to cheer if the announcers say something and maybe they hear it. I mean, why are they whispering? I've got to turn the volume up just to hear them. And then all of a sudden the crowd starts, you know, roaring because Tiger Woods made a long putt. It wakes me up from my nap.
Follow up. Have you ever whispered in your life?
Have I ever whispered? I'm whispering now, Brian. Sometimes, you know what? That's the beauty of radio is you whisper a little bit and you get everybody to listen a little bit closer. And then you talk about something exciting like Michigan football in the Big House on April 13, spring game.
Ed Warner, let's go.
You're damn right, Brian. It is time to talk offensive line. Please listen to Ed Warner, the conversation I had with offensive line coach Ed Warner. Coach Ed Warner joins us on In the Trenches. And Coach, before we get into the guys, this is your second spring with Michigan football. Any differences between year two and year one?
The main difference is just my familiarity with the program and the players, knowing what to anticipate, being a little bit more calm and settled. And so I just feel really good about where we're at, feel good about where I'm at. So just a different level of confidence, too, you know, in that what my role is and how to best do it.
You mentioned being comfortable and settled. It's got to be comforting to know that you've got four returning starters coming back. And even if they weren't going to be starting, the experience that they have is invaluable. Is that how you've been able to proceed in camp so far?
Absolutely. It's very comforting to have those four players back. They were all conference. They were all starters last year. We didn't promise them a starting job, but they've all improved, every single one of them. Bredesen's improved. Runyon's improved. Cesar Ruiz has improved. And Mike has maybe improved as much as any of them, or maybe more than all of them. And so that's been exciting. So they've pushed the envelope themselves. We've pushed them. So we're getting some good production out of those guys, and they've gone every day so far in spring and been very consistent.
You had all four of those guys at every game last year. So that consistency has been there. Let's just go down the line real quick. Left tackle at John Runyon. Did you, at the beginning of last season, see an all-conference player in your left tackle, or was that something that he developed and continued to improve throughout the year?
Yeah, I was really proud of John because he improved throughout the year. The first game of the season against Notre Dame, he, along with all of us, probably didn't play as well as we would have liked. He kind of had a rough start in his first start at left tackle, but he just continued to grind, continued to stay focused, and improved all the way through the year and was playing as consistent as anyone throughout the season. And so really pleased with the way he finished and continued to get better. And the thing about it is taking that attitude into the offseason. So he's in great shape. He's been very consistent in spring ball. He comes to work every day. So he's in a good place right now.
And he's got to have that confidence that he was an off-conference player. He played in all the games. He had a great year at left tackle. What are some of the things that he's working on this spring to improve his performance at left tackle?
I think his footwork, he's still working on his footwork in the run game, which I see has been a great improvement this spring. And so he can get himself in the right position. And then using his hands more effectively in his pass pro. Mm-hmm. We're doing some training with him in terms of his punch and throwing his hands and hand placement in the passing game, which I think has helped him. And just his kick and his slide and his sets at left tackle have been really smooth and consistent. So he just stepped it up a notch and continue to refine his craft.
There, you bring up an interesting topic there at the beginning of that answer, where you say he's working on his run blocking. Do you find, and this is just an O-line question, that it used to be, or at least it seemed like to me, when guys came in as freshmen and sophomores, because high schools were so heavy in the run, that they were further along in their run technique, or at least more comfortable in that. Now it seems it's almost flipped. They're because the high schools are throwing the ball so much, these guys are coming in having pass set, having used their hands, having done some of those things, that they're almost further along in pass blocking than they are in run blocking. Have you noticed any of that?
I have noticed that. It depends on where they come from, what part mm-hmm. of the country, and you know what states. Some of the southern states throw the ball a lot more
yeah.
than the upper Midwest here, where it's still a run-oriented most of the time in high school. But depending on where that young man's from and what program he came from, you do see some guys who are much further along in the passing game than they are in the run game, where it used to be almost everybody lagged behind in the passing game. So it's individual to individual, but there's definitely some guys that come in and they haven't run the ball very often. They've been a spread, throw it 60 times a game type of team in certain situations, and so they just have to learn, you know, the value of running the ball, because we're still a University of Michigan. We still like running the ball. We still know you got to run the ball to win the Big Ten in November.
Yeah. Well, having said that, you know, coming in, there are some guys obviously that are better at run, some are better at pass. How do you, as a coach, organize those guys and coach them, knowing that some guys need more of their footwork running, some guys need more pass blocking? How do you mesh those with guys that have already been here for 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, that's kind of the most difficult thing, and the thing I spend the most time on, is how to manage our time so that certain players get what they need, other players get what they need. So it's individualized, but yet it's still, you have to work as a group. But we try to divide up. Coach Harbaugh is great about giving the offensive line plenty of individual time at practice. Mm-hmm. So we take advantage of that, and we usually, you know, have 20 minutes, 25 minutes devoted to the run game, and then we'll have 20, 25 minutes devoted to the passing game, and then we just work on the skills that are going to benefit the group the most in that particular day, and we just evaluate it every day. So I don't do it too far in advance, you know, what we want to do in practice. But we have a pretty good grid, if you ever saw it, of what the tackles need to be working on during certain periods, the guards, the centers, what we work on in groups, what we work on in half line, and how we divide that up amongst the offensive coaches.
Another guy that had his first start against Notre Dame at a very unique position is Cesar Ruiz. I saw him last year grow throughout the year, but also being a center in a way environment, in that type of setting, can be a big challenge with the communication. How did you see him grow as a player, but also in handling, like, East Lansing, Columbus, in handling the communication amongst the offensive line?
Yeah, he learned a lot from that first game, as all of us did, but he grew in his role, and he became very comfortable and very confident in what he was supposed to do. He has a very high football IQ. It's real important to him. So he makes all the calls in relation to the run game and passing game, at least initiates them and gets it started. The quarterbacks can sometimes override it. Other linemen will help him at times, but he's the primary guy, and he's right 90% of the time, which is really good. And he just continued to get better and better at that. We've transitioned some on offense, so he's learning new terms, new things, and he's done a nice job of learning that this spring. I really like where he's at. I mean, he's moving very, very well. He leaned up some in the offseason. We asked him to do that. That was part of his January kind of list of things he needed to work on, was improve his fitness a little bit, eat a little better, eat a little cleaner, get with Abigail, work that. And he looks fast when he pulls. He is fast on the perimeter. We're using him in our pin and pull game and our screen game and things like that. And just really excited about what his season can look like.
How much more does that add to your ability as an offensive line to do some special things? Because I've been a part of offensive lines who have had centers who can pull, and I've been a part of offensive lines with centers that there's no chance they're going to pull. I mean, what does it? How much more does it add to what you guys can do in terms of scheme?
I think it adds quite a bit, because now we're not just a A-gap to A-gap team. I mean, we can – and we were good at outside zone last year, and then one of the reasons we had good pullers, but when you can pull your center, that just changes everything. So we've got some really good schemes in there for him. Get him on the perimeter, use his. So as we talk about speed in space, we have C's in space now. So he's pulling quite a bit. And so that's the little joke in the OI room, is C's in space. So, and it's all part of the spread offense and playing fast and getting good athletes on the perimeter with the ball. And they need good athletes on the perimeter to block for him. And so, getting a leaner Mike out there, getting a leaner Caesar out there, a quicker Ben out there on the perimeter, it has been good. It's been fun, and I think that's part of our offense that we've developed this spring.
How much do those guys enjoy when you say they're going to pull and they get a chance to get out there and get on a little guy? I mean, I used to love pulling from the tackle position, and you know, it's one thing to pull and hit a linebacker. It's another thing to get out there and hit a little guy. And it's a lot of fun, but it can be – I don't think people understand the type of athlete that you have to be able to block in space.
Yeah, it's very challenging, too, because they instituted a rule where we can't cut more than 5 yards downfield. So our guys are pulling, and they're getting on the perimeter, and it's a hard time, like, catching a rabbit when you're a big guy. And those corners and DBs are like little rabbits out there running around real fast and quick. So they want to throw and cut, but if they're more than 5 yards downfield, that's illegal. So we've had to work on some special teams, like kick cover, punt cover techniques, where we call it quicken and widen. Quicken your feet and widen your base as you get close to contact, so you have a better chance to change direction and make contact on the perimeter. So that's been challenging, but it's been fun. But they like getting out there and always get in people's way, you know, and just give us great effort. And the running backs use those guys on the perimeter. So it's been fun to watch them develop there, and they're doing a nice job on the perimeter.
It's funny you say that, because I've seen a lot of change in my time, and you've been in football a little bit longer than I have. With the recent rule changes, and some of them are helmet-to-helmet contact, some of them are cutting downfield, how much have you seen the game change from year one of your coaching to now?
Well, most of the legislation is just to make the game safer and to try to help players have better longevity and prevent the needless injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, when you could cut on the backside on the O-line of people on the back of their legs and that wasn't a penalty. I mean, they didn't call it a penalty and people did it and it was just like high risk and people got hurt. You know, just certain things, not cutting from outside in, you know, being outside the box, cutting someone inside the box. Those are just all rules, the helmet to helmet to eliminate concussions and, you know, things like that, stingers in the upper torso. So I just think the rules, it's still a physical game. These kids still play really hard. They're just trying to get the things out of there that put people at high risk, both the player initiating the contact and the player receiving the contact. This new rule change, though, about cutting downfield, I guess, was just to hopefully eliminate that some big guy rolls into a smaller guy or anybody downfield and their legs get caught and they get rolled up and all of a sudden they've got a knee injury that's going to cost them the rest of their season and maybe their career. So I get it. I mean, I don't have any heartburn right now with any of the rule implementations because that still hasn't changed how we attack people and how we block and how aggressive we are. It makes us more conscious of keeping our head out of contact, blocking with our eyes. We use the term block with your eyes. So we don't talk about helmet and head. See what you're going to hit. You keep your eyes up. So it just goes to a safer, but it doesn't change that the game in terms of physicality. I still think it's a physical game.
When you're recruiting players and a mom asks you about her concerns of the you know, head injuries, it's a big thing right now. What do you tell the parents who are concerned about their kids not only playing football but playing at such a high level at Michigan where you know the impacts are going to be great?
Well, I think the first thing would be that we understand those are issues and we do a great job of coaching at all the positions, regardless of what their son plays, of making sure that we're doing the safest techniques possible to minimize that risk. I have a son that plays college football. You know, I played college football. I mean, I get the risk, but I also know that if you do things the right way and they're taught right, they're reinforced the correct way, and if you play the game the right way, you know, your chances are minimal or minimized in terms of that. It can happen. We have the best helmets, the best equipment available. We play it very safe. If you do have that type of an injury to your head, we're not going to rush anybody back. We're going to make sure that they're following protocol. We don't ask kids to go back in games that have the appearance that they might have gotten disoriented, you know, and aren't sure what's going on. So we have a really strict protocol. I think we do a great job of that. And I think the way we teach on the offensive line and what we teach our kids, knock on wood, I don't know that I've lost a player since I've been here to a concussion for practices or games. So, you know, we'll just continue to teach these safe techniques and use our hands and eyes more than we use. As I said, we don't use the term head and helmet and things like that in terms of striking. That isn't, we never want to make contact with our helmet or head first. Everything's with our hands and shoulders first, if possible, if we can. Sometimes it happens accidentally, but it's not intentional.
I want to get back to your personnel right now. Ben Bredesen was elected captain last year. He started a number of games at left guard. How important has he been to this offensive line, and what does he mean to you guys?
Well, he's one of the best leaders on our team. He was a captain as a junior, which is unusual, maybe the first time. So he's kind of the ringleader. He's the voice of reason. He helps get everybody motivated on the same page. If he feels something is awry, he's quick to address it. He's like an assistant coach in a way. But he's also a player, and he still has, you know, likes players, and he's not more friendly with the coaches than the players. I mean, those are his dudes. But he's just found a happy medium of where to help facilitate the program over the individual and just making sure everybody is held accountable from a player standpoint. And he reaches all positions. I don't think he's just a captain of the O-line. I think he is an offensive captain and a team captain. And I think he can communicate with anybody at any position, offense or defense on our team or any coach. And so he's been a blessing And his buy-in was very fast. And when the top players, your best players, your captains, your leaders buy in to what you're doing, then everybody else seems to follow along. And he was an early buy-in guy because Ben only cares about one thing. He cares about Michigan football. He cares about doing it the right way. And he cares about helping us be the best we can be. And he has no other agenda other than that. And that's refreshing.
When you look at your offensive line, we mentioned you guys got the four starters back. You've got an open position at the right side, and Coach had talked about it's basically between Jalen Mayfield and Andrew Stuber. Those are the two guys at the top of the list right now, and there's a competition going on. How has that competition played out, and how has it driven both of those guys and everybody else that might have a shot at that position to be better?
Yeah, that's an ongoing process at that position. Right now, the two guys who are battling for that, Andrew Stuber, Jalen Mayfield, both of them are having very solid springs. It hasn't separated itself out yet. So we're just going to let that thing play out, continue through the spring and play out through the summer and into August. And if it starts to separate, then we might name a starter. But at this time, it's so close. And we rotate every day, those two guys. So neither one has had more reps than the other at the first team spot. It's pretty close to 50-50 in terms of their practice time. They're getting a lot of individual attention. So it's exciting to watch them because they're both going to play this year. They're both going to contribute and then just see where their ceiling is and where they end up. But we'll need both of them to be the best we can be.
Depth is such a big issue at the offensive line position. I know that the numbers of guys that we have now in the program that are playing offensive line are up. You've got a number of guys coming in as true freshmen next year. Who are some of the guys that we haven't talked about that are going to be able to provide you some great depth, and who's had a great spring so far that's going to be next in line?
The first guy that would come to mind is Steve Spinellis. So Steve is the backup to Caesar at center, but he also might be the first guard in the game at either side, left or right guard. Mm-hmm. Very smart, very tough, very talented in terms of what we ask him to do. So he's a consistent guy, likable guy, hardworking, smart, maybe as smart as anybody on the team. And so I mentioned him first. I think what he gives us a lot of stability and consistency there. You know, at the guard positions, Chuck Filiaga has been playing some left guard. That's primarily where he plays, behind Bredesen. But Chuck's improved this spring. He's making steps in the right direction. Great physical attributes, tying it all together with technique and assignment and developing some consistency. So Chuck's headed in the right direction. Andrew Vastardis is playing guard, and Joel Honiford, those two play guard as well. So they rotate in there. Andrew is also the third center. Mm-hmm. So, and then he and Joel rotate at guard, and they both are having good springs. Andrew's really physical. This is, I think, it's his last year of football. He's very physical, very tough, very conscientious. So really can see him really pushing, and we're getting as much out of him as we can get. And he's solid in there. He gives us a great effort and at center or guard. We already talked about either Mayfield or Stuber. One of those guys would be depth at the tackle position. And then young Ryan Hayes, who played tight end in high school, came down here from Traverse City, your neck of the woods up there.
Yeah,
And is really starting to come into his own, getting very comfortable, 6'7", 290-plus, playing left tackle behind John Runyon. Liked his spring, like where he's headed. You know, physically, he's catching up to the position. Because he came here about 250, 255 and a tight end. Now he's learning to line play over the course of a year. He's physically stronger. So he's made a lot of progress, having a good solid spring. So exciting stuff from him. Greg Robinson's had a good spring as well. Love Greg Robinson. Jess Spates doing some good things for us. So, yeah, it's been exciting to see all these guys just getting better and playing with more confidence. And the most thing I'm most proud of is we have 15 linemen in spring ball. Yeah. All 15 have gone every single rep of spring practice. They have not missed a rep of spring practice. So we haven't had a guy miss for a shoelace, a mouthpiece, a helmet, let alone injury. So warriors and rugged dudes, and just love the group. Love going to work every day and working with those guys and how hard they work. So it's my job to keep up with them.
Well, it seems like you're doing a great job with them. Obviously, last year they played very well, and we're looking for the same this year. We're talking with offensive line coach at the University of Michigan, Ed Warner. What were some of the objectives you had this year going into spring? You mentioned that we had the four returning guys and even some experience at right tackle. Were you able to start out further ahead because of the experience that you had coming back?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the things that is fun, but it's also challenging. We have some young guys who are really working to develop their base fundamentals. These older guys that have been playing for 2 or 3 years and have a lot of game experience, now we're trying to take them to that last step, which is usually some things that you don't want your younger guys to do. I mean, mm-hmm. they're just some techniques and some thoughts and some little nuances that'll allow them to be the most elite player they can be. But they've been interested in that. All of them improved their fitness, their strength, their conditioning, their body fat. All those things were real important to us this offseason. All of them did it. Going to a no-huddle offense where hopefully we can possibly get 15 to 20 more snaps a game. We asked them to increase their conditioning, increase their body fat percentage, lower their body fat, increase their muscle mass, better stamina, be more efficient. And I see that in all of them. All of them have responded and done that. And you can see they play fast. They're very comfortable around each other, so they communicate well. That's been an advantage. So, yeah, we didn't have to start at ground zero with that crew. Even our backups, the same thing. They've been in the system, so we weren't starting at ground zero. We were starting way ahead of that and then just trying to build on that. And so I like the way it's going. And I just – like I said, I'm proud of how hard they've worked and how hard they've committed to the team and what they need to do to be better. But each one of them had little things that we thought were important for them. We gave them physical attributes, mental attributes, and technical attributes that they needed to improve.
You mentioned the new offense and the no huddle. What's it been like working with Josh Gattis? I know it's been a short period of time so far, but how's he been coming into the coaching staff and also dealing with the players?
Well, for me, it's been great. I did not know Josh, but he came in and we went to a no huddle spread offense. I have a lot of comfort and familiarity with that. Haven't mm-hmm. done that pretty much every year since probably 2003 on. I've been in a shotgun spread, no huddle type of system. So very comfortable with that. Josh has some new things that they were doing at a couple of his stops that have been very good for me to learn. They've been very, I've been excited about them. So I just think the whole thing's been good. He meshes well with our coaches, with our players. Fresh ideas, new things are always good. We work together as a team well. I think that the whole process is headed in the right direction. I'm excited about it. So I think the acclimation to the offensive system and to Josh and him integrating into the Michigan program, that's been pretty smooth. I think it's been smooth for him. I know it's been smooth for us. And we're all growing and learning together. So if we can just stay tight, stay working together with the one mission of give these players the best chance to win and put them in the right position. And I think some of the things that we are going to do and are working on doing are going to let our players play to their strengths.
And I'll let you go on this one. Last question. You mentioned, the comfort with the no huddle. It's something that you've done at a number of different places. But there's whether it's through Josh Gattis, Coach Harbaugh, or any of the other coaches, there's always something, it seems, from year to year that's new. How excited do you get to learn new things about football?
That's what keeps me invigorated. I mean, as a player, when you get better and grow and learn, that's invigorating. It's the same as a coach. So I've learned a tremendous amount of football in year 35 this spring, just with new ideas, new blood into the program, new people around that bring things that are going on in football, and you absorb those and you try to integrate them into what you know. And So I'm a better coach today than I was last year at this time or 2 years ago at this time, and I'm excited about that, and I just hope to share that with the players.
Well, we're excited that you're here, excited to see year two of this offensive line, and best of luck the rest of spring.
Thank you so much.
Want to give a big thanks to Coach Ed Warner for taking the time out. These coaches are so busy, especially at this time of the year. They've got to coach their guys up. They've got to watch film. They're preparing for next season, and recruiting is it's a hot moment for recruiting. So I really appreciate the time that Coach Ed Warner spent with us. And I always love talking offensive line, especially when it's Michigan football. But next week, I want to hear about what you want to know about in regards to Michigan football, whether it's about next year, it's about spring ball, it's about the off-season program. You let me know what your questions are. You can tweet me at JohnJansen77. Brian, there's a couple other ways that the fans can get in touch with us with their comments. What are they?
Yeah, absolutely, John. Not only can you tweet at JohnJansen77, but also text us 734-328-1760. That's 734-328-1760. Or we have an email, MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. That's MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. I can tell you this, if you ask an offensive line question, you probably have a pretty good chance of being on the podcast.
Yes, and you will not get any whispers. Whispering is not allowed when we talk offensive line. But I hope that we will hear everybody loud and proud this Saturday. Remember, gates will open at 4 o'clock. There's no charge to come to the game. Game starts at 5. It will last till about 7, 7:30. If you can't make it, you can listen to Brian, myself, Dan Dierdorf, Jim Brandstatter, Doug Karsh. We're going to have the band back together. You can listen to us on the Michigan Radio Broadcast Network. We are very excited to let you guys know what is going on the field throughout spring ball. And it's going to be a great day. So if you're there, please make sure you say hello, and I will do the same to you. And we will talk to you next week as we answer questions on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.